Okay, everybody, good night of Shabbos. I would like to focus today, Be'ezus Hashem, on two ideas. They're also linked, and they're very, very central in the thought of the Ramban. One is the idea of Maisa Avos Simin Labanim, which the Ramban introduces for the first time in Parshas Lech Lecha, but he tells you then that he's going to be using this idea and explaining Sukkim throughout Sefer Bereishis based on this foundation. And the other idea is the promise of Eretz Yisrael to the Avos, starting with Avraham Avinu and Yitzchak and Yaakov. These ideas are very central, as I noted, to the Ramban, they're very central to Yadus. And what I'd like to do, as you saw already last week, is not just present the content of the Ramban and what he says and trying to understand it on a deeper level, but also to be sensitive to the way that the Ramban expresses the idea. I'd like to sensitize everybody to the Ramban as a Rebbe, Rabbeinu Ramban, as a teacher. The Ramban presents things a certain way, and that gives you an inkling into the, if you will, the mind of the Ramban, the kinds of things that occupy his mind, the kinds of issues that he struggles with, and all of that has a tremendous benefit at the same time that you learn the content of what he's saying. You also learn about the Ramban himself. And the mark of a good teacher, any good Rebbe, is the idea that you don't overwhelm the Talmidim right away. You know, you might know a lot, you might have worked out an issue to the nth degree. If you're going to come in and share everything that you know the first time, then very little is going to actually get internalized and digested by the Talmidim. It's just too much. HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the sun rise every morning. He doesn't do it at once, in an instant. HaMeir Aret V'Ador Meleha V'Rachamim. The Rishonim explain that it goes la'at la'at, little by little. It gets lighter and lighter, and then you have the sun finally emerging completely. And so it is with learning, any type of learning, and specifically with the Torah, that the Ramban introduces an issue, a topic, an idea, and he tells you that this is a very profound idea. I'm going to introduce it here. Let me tell you the basic idea of it. I'm going to explain it as we go forward. And the idea gets fleshed out throughout the Pirush of the Ramban, so that gradually you begin to kind of connect with the idea and understand it on a deeper level. And that's very important. So the ideas that we're going to present today is not the last word by any stretch of the Ramban's approach, because just as the Ramban himself introduces it gradually and tells you I'm going to develop it further, so will we follow those footsteps. The Ramban's vision of Eretz Yisrael is a very broad one. There's a lot of ideas, a lot of layers. So we've just begun Sefer Bereishis, you know, a couple of parshas already, so we'll begin to look at that issue from the perspective of how the Ramban touches base with it, starting with the beginning of Bereishis, and Noach, Lech Lecha, and as we go on, Mir Hashem will be able to develop that idea further, and the same is with Maisa Avosim and Labanim. I also want to say something which, I don't know if it's a little bit touchy-feely, I don't know if you take it that way, I hope you won't, but you know, you read a Ramban, you learn a Ramban, it's hard, if you really take it seriously, and you look at the Lashon, it's hard to avoid sometimes the impression that the Ramban is speaking to you, speaking to a group, and you're in that group. You can almost imagine, and the Rav of Salvechik used to talk about this in general, when he spoke about the idea of Rebbe and Talmud, that he would be giving over something, and he'd bring to this Rashi, to this Tosis, and the Rambam, the Ramban, and everybody would be in the room, and it'd be a discussion. He made it alive. The Ramban speaks in such a way that he engages the reader, and he tells you that he's going to tell you something important, and you're almost awaiting with bated breath, what's he about to tell me? And again, if you really appreciate getting into the words of the Ramban and reading it seriously, I think you get a little bit of that taste as well, and I'll show you what I mean. Let's first focus on Maisa Avosim and Labanim. So this idea is first introduced in Parshas Lech Lecha on the pasuk Vayavor Avram Ba'aretz. And notice how the Ramban expresses the idea that he's about to tell you, and he tells you, Omar lecha klal. The Ramban doesn't say this all the time. There's at least another time that I remember that he says it at the end of Parshas Bo. He's going to tell you something very important, and he tells you that he's going to tell you something very important. Omar lecha klal. Tavin oso b'chola parshis habos v'inyan abimitzat Yaakov. Hu inyan gadol his kiru abisena b'derach tzara v'amru kol mashira l'avo simen l'banim. So he tells you the Chazal identified the idea, and I'm going to tell you about it, I'm going to explain it to you, and it's going to be something that's going to be relevant for the parshis that follow. So again, you read these words and you feel like, wow, you know, I'm here in the Ramban's world, and he's talking to me, and he's telling me about something very important. I better tune in right now. I mean, every shiur, you want to tune in, you want to hear every word, but not always do you get everything, not always do you know that this is something that really requires focus, but this is what Ramban is doing for us. He's taking you in, he's telling you that this is a very deep idea. And he tells you the Chazal already state it, and before he even develops the idea and explains his interpretation and his elaboration of the principle, he also tells you that this idea explains a very basic thing that should bother you. And again, here you begin to understand that this is something that Ramban is concerned about. Why does the Torah spell out things that seem to be less than central? Why does the Torah spend so much time and detail about where Avram went and that Yitzchak dug wells and here and there? And like, why is it really important for me to know this? This is a very important question. We spoke last week about how these are the kinds of questions that the Ramban asks throughout his Perush on Torah. Why does the Torah give short thrift to things that seem to be very, very important? And why does the Torah spend time and space to talk about things that are not seemingly as important? So the Ramban is saying this is exactly the answer to questions like this. The principle of Ma'isav is Simen Rabbanin. V'lochein yarichu ha-kesuvim b'sipur ha-masos b'chathiras ha-be'eros u'shar ha-mikrim. I'm assuming that you all can translate. V'yachshov ha-choshev b'hem ki'ilu heim dvorem yutarim ein b'hem to'eles. Someone who doesn't really think about it, what's so important about this? The kulam boim lamed ala asid. And the answer is that they are all there to symbolize things that will happen in the future. Ki kasha yavo amikre lenavi mishkol shesa avos yisponim imeno adav ha-nigzar lavo lezaro. So from what happens to the navi, in other words, the avos, there will be something in that that they will recognize is not just about them as individuals, but it has some symbolism for what will happen historically in the future of Klal Yisrael. Now, if you would stop right here, you could understand this simply as the idea that not so much that the future is being created through the specific events that are happening to the Avos. Not that this is the cause per se, but this is simply a way of conveying to the Avos themselves that this will be the future and it's preordained in some way, and this is the symbolism, it lies in what you're doing right now. That's how one could have explained it. The words of Chazal, Simen Lebanim. Simen means that it's symbolic. There is a certain destiny, there's a certain event that's going to happen way ahead in the future, and the fact that Avraham Avinu does X, or Yitzchak does X, Yaakov, all of this is a way of reminding them, putting into their consciousness the idea and the event that will be later. And that's a little bit how it sounds like from the words of Rabbeinu Bechaye when he develops this idea. It's more like a simen in the way that we would translate a simen. However, look how the Ramban continues. And here you see the Ramban takes it in a very new direction. The Ramban explains that there is going to be potentially something that would happen It's a gzeira in Shemayim, the da ki al kol gzeiras irin. Irin are like malachim, celestial bodies, meaning from Shemayim. Kasher teitze mikoach gzeira el poel dimyon, tia gzeira miskayemes al kol panim. So when it leaves the realm of just being the potential, the gzeira is that it will happen, but it's still not definite. Apparently, there's still room for things to go awry. It won't for sure happen, or it might not happen exactly as perfectly as it would be planned. So in terms of the execution, in terms of the shift from Gzeira, from Mikoach, El Apoel, what you will often find is that Nevi'im will do something physically in the world that will symbolize that gzeira. Ukach yasu nevi'im maseh b'nevuos, and the Ramban gives a couple of examples. Kimay mar yimiyosh etziva lebaruch v'hoi kecharos chol kroz tibi asef azeh tikshor lecha eved v'shlachta utoch pras v'yomar tokoch atishka bovel. So by taking this nevuah, throwing it into the river and saying tokoch atishka bovel, that will be making the gzeira, the nevuah, that much more real. And so in Yenalisha Benichol Zro al Keshes with the Melech Yisrael, Yehoram, I think, Vayomer Elisha Yoro Vayor Vayomer Chetz Tshul Hashem Chetz Tshul Baram V'nemar Shavikzov Elov Elishel Kim V'yom HaKas Chomesh Ochei Shesh Pramas Kisra Mat Kalei. It was only three times, it won't be a total rout. Had he shot the arrow more? What is the idea? The idea is that when the Navi does something in this world that is a way of concretizing the Nevuah has an easier time coming to fruition. Says the Ramban, this is what it means, Maisa of a Simin Lebanim, and this is the meaning of why, for example, Avraham Avinu does so much of what is described. He goes here, he goes there. The idea is, and he walks across Eretz Yisrael, Aficha Hechzik HaKadosh Baruch Hu Avraham Be'aretz, this is a heavy idea. So Avraham Avinu walks across Eretz Yisrael, and this is all connected to what will be in the future. And then he says, based on this, understand, I'm going to try to explain to you Psukim as we go forward to Ezra Hashem. Again, understand there's a tremendous lesson here. The content of the message, there's the way Ramban understands Ma'aseh Rabbanim, and there's also the way the Ramban is introducing it. Now, here's the principle, here's the yisod, I'm going to explain, and he begins right here with one example, and then it's going to come up again and again. We don't have time, certainly not today, to go through all of the examples that the Ramban is going to utilize, Maisa Ramban, to explain. There is a list, Rav Leibel Opiansky from Or Yerushalayim in his Sefer Lev Sion has a list. I think he missed a couple. But there's more than a dozen times the Ramban uses the principle to explain Psukim. But I just want to focus on one specific example, which is, I think, very striking and a little bit unnerving. The Ramban talks about Avraham Avinu going down to Mitzrayim. And he says on the Pasuk, Vahi Rav Ba'aretz, that in this going down to Mitzrayim and the events that happened with Sarai taken by Paro, and how Hashem, Vayinaga Hashem as Paro, Paro is punished to the extent that he realizes that this is improper for him to do this, and she's married, and he demands that they leave. He asks them to leave, and he gives them all kind of, and Avram got meanwhile with these gifts. So all of this is Simin Labanim, as Rabban explains, that Banav Yardu Mitzrayim b'pnei harav lago sham ba'aretz. This is Avram left Eretz Yisrael to go down to Mitzrayim, so we find with Yaakov and his children. Mitzrayim made it hard for them. Vayikchu mehem anashim v'chol abas techayun. They wanted to hold on, so to speak, focus on the women. Hashem will punish them just as he punished Paro, and they left b'ruchush gadol, just as Avram left b'ruchush gadol. And if you look in the Ben Bechai, by the way, he elaborates even more on the parallels between Avraham Avinu in Mitzrayim and Kal Yisrael. Now, this by itself is fine. This is a perfect illustration of the principle of Mai Sabbath Simbanim, as Ramban explains it. In other words, it happens in a certain way for Avram, and this is a way to put the program, that nevuah, so to speak, that prediction in the world, so that it happens when it does in the way that it does. The problem is something that Ramban says right afterwards. The very same piece in the Ramban seems to critique Avraham Avinu for having left Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan. He says it was that he left because of the famine. This, if you don't know Pasuk in Hosea, or you don't have the Ramban with Nikudos, it's impossible that you'll read these words properly. It's not Avon Asher Chata, but it's one of those examples that the Ramban borrows idioms from Tanakh. This is a Pasuk in Hosea, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Tes. Avon Asher Chet. That's the expression. This expression, by the way, the Ramban uses five times in his Parash on Torah. You have it in our parish in Vayera. You have it also later on. You have it in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yudah, later in Lechecha. You have it in Vayera, Perek Chav, Pasuk Yudbeis. You have it later in Sefer Bereishis, Perek Mem, Pasuk Yudah, and in Dvarim, Perek Chav Tes, Pasuk Chav Tes. Those are the five times I believe the Ramban uses this expression. Probably interesting to think about any connections between these five places. Either way, the Ramban uses an expression from Hosea saying that Avraham Avinu did something wrong by leaving Eretz Canaan. And why was it wrong? Ki Elokim b'rav yifdenu mimavis. Hashem can certainly save his life even in the midst of a famine. So why leave? So therefore, the Ramban doesn't stop with that and says, because Avram did something which was a mistake, he left Eretz Canaan, he shouldn't have left. So this is why Kal Yisrael ended up having to go into the Golus Mitzrayim, because of the chet of Avram Avinu, who went out of Eretz Canaan and didn't trust in Hashem. The Ramban says this on the heels of saying something else, which is also troubling at first. Right before he says that there was a chet in Avraham Avinu leaving Eretz Canaan, he says, "V'da ki Avraham Avinu chata chet gado b'shgaga." He expresses that it was not a chet on a mezid level; it was a shgaga. He miscalculated. Shehevi ishto atzadekas b'michshel avol b'pei pachdo pen yarguhu. He put his wife Sarai the tzadekas in a potential of harm, of being taken and violated by whoever the king would be, because of his fear that he might kill him. That was not correct. So the Ramban is, one after the other, back to back, he's critiquing Avraham Avinu, both for his putting Sarah in Sakana, and he's saying that she's a sister, he shouldn't have done so, he should have said the truth and trust in Hashem, and so by leaving Eretz Canaan. Now, truth be told, I remember hearing as a child, my father, should be well, he's a Talmud of Moshe Feinstein, and he heard Moshe say that it couldn't be the Ramban said this, he couldn't have written this. It must have been a Talmud Torah, someone, not the Ramban, put this in, and it's simply inconceivable the Ramban could do such a thing, and he made his case. I mean, first of all, if you don't find in the Medrash Chazal going to critique Avram or whoever it is and others for doing something, so Ramban is going to invent a chait when we don't find any precedent in Chazal, it doesn't seem right. Furthermore, in terms of the specific examples, Avram Avinu did a chait by saying Sarai is his wife. So why does he repeat it again later? He does it again in Parshas Vayera, in our Parsha, with Sarai, with Avimelech. Again, he says she's my sister. And it was more than that. Ramban explains in our parasha that this was something that Avraham Avinu set up way back, that they should do this all the time. But he, as the pasuk says, but he explains to Avivach, this is an agreement that he says we're going to do this wherever we go. So this is a whole mahalach. It's not just a one time. You do an Abeira, You make a mistake, so you could say it was a one-time mistake. Avraham Avinu did this on a regular basis. Furthermore, Yitzchak followed in the same path. Yitzchak did it in Parshas Toldos. So how could it, you assume that this is a chet? And the argument is a very compelling one. And similarly, when it comes to leaving Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara in Bava Basra learns out that the person has a right to leave Eretz Yisrael on the grant of a famine. Hazer Agrecha, the Gemara says in Bava Basra, this is a halacha. We learn it from Avraham Avinu. So we're learning Avraham Avinu that one may leave, and Avraham Avinu was wrong for leaving. So the truth is that these problems are problems. Akashas are akashas. Rav Moshe dealt with this in a convenient way by saying it was clearly not written by the Ramban, but you know, the emes seems to be that it's too much quoted by Rishonim. Everyone quotes this Ramban. Rabbi Lechaya quotes the Ramban. It's hard to imagine that it was not the Ramban. Furthermore, the Ramban later on in the Parsha, twice, makes reference to what he says over here, that the chet of Avraham Avinu going to Mitzrayim was the basis for Golus Mitzrayim. The Ramban himself, in a later point, in Parshas, in Perek Tezvav, Pasuk Yudalid, when it says, V'gamas agoy asher yavodu don anochi, by the Brisbane Absarim, so the Ramban says, O'derach Abshat, Yoma, kasher danti espanecha begolos v'inoy al avon asher chet, that was one of the five places, just as I judge your children, begolos al avon asher chet, that's exactly the expression he uses here when he introduces the chet of Avraham Avinu going to Mitzrayim, avon asher chet. So he's using the same expression, he says, I was judging them to go into golos because of avon asher chet, that's clearly what he's saying over here. So he's using his own melitza. So how could you say it wasn't the Ramban who said it over here? And further, even more explicitly, in Pasuk Yud Beis later, in the parasha, in that parak, V'acharechein hodio v'be'ur golus acheres sheyigu t'chila shu golus mitzrayim shekvar nenash bo kasher peirashti. How more explicit can you get? Shekvar nenash bo. I don't know, I didn't see Ramosha in writing. Maybe he only said it on the other thing, on the point about Sarai, because here the kasha becomes, how did Yitzchak do it, how did Avraham do it again? But the truth is, if the Ramban says it about going down to Mitzrayim, he's saying it as a hemshech to what he says a minute before. Because the Ramban says, Gam, right, after talking about what we have in our Ramban, that it was a chet to say that Sarai is a sister, the Ramban continues, says, Gam, Yitzchak, what's the Gam? The Gam is, one thing was Avraham did which was not correct, and then Gam gets Yosef in the Oretz of Onashachet. So clearly it sounds like it's one thing. And again, this is quoted by other Rishonim as from the Ramban. So I'm working with that assumption that the Ramban said it, and therefore the problems are real problems. But I don't want to answer those problems per se. That requires its own shear. And there are ways to deal with it, which I have my own thoughts also, but I'd rather not directly address those points. I want to just focus from the perspective of my service in Lebanon. What does it mean to say that Avraham going down to Mitzrayim is a simon Lebanon, that we would have the experience in Mitzrayim like Avraham did, but at the same time say that Avraham Avinu was the cause for that which would happen? In other words, it's one thing to say that this is going to happen, the gzeira, and independent of that, there's Avraham Avinu going through the motions of whatever he's doing in order to concretize that future happening. That's one thing, and make it easier for it to happen. It's another thing to say that Avraham Avinu triggered the event, and then it also goes to make it easier for it to happen. It's like the image of an arsonist putting out the fire. Right? Avraham Avinu is the cause, and then the way that it all works out in the end is all based on Avraham Avinu getting saved, so it was that the Kal Yisrael. But the truth is, this is not the only example. If you go through the long list of examples Ramban uses, you have another example also in Lech Lecha, with the story where Hagar is driven out of the house by Sarah. You have it in Lech Lecha. You have it again in this week's parsha, Vayera. In Vayera, it's already together with Yishmael. In Lech Lecha, it's just her. She conceived and she began to look at herself as superior to Sarai. So Sarai, it says that she drives out hug her from the house. Vata'aneha sarai, vativrach nipaneha. And here the Ramban also minces no words. And he says something again, very, very powerful. And he connects it to a maisa of a similar bottom idea. So the Ramban says that Chata Imenu, this is in Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Vav. Chata Imenu, Sara Imenu, Be'inui Hazeh. Sarah was wrong in this, in her being overpowering, driving out Hagar. Bataneha Sarah. The Gam Avraham, Behamichol Asuske. Not only was it Sarah who had, was faulted, but also Avraham by letting her do this. And the Ramban says, because of this, Hagar was granted a son. So Asid La'ano Zera Avraham Bechol, Vesara Bechol Mini Inui. This is what we suffer Nebuch today because of the Arabs, Ishmael's descendants, because of Vataneha Sarah. But then, on a good note, Ramban continues and says that when the Malach tells Sarai, Pasuk Tes over there, Shuvi al gvir techvis, anitachas yada, return and submit yourself, Siva usalasha v'kabal mimshelas gvirta, see her as the boss, Remes, ki lo teitze lachavshi mimena, ki bnei sara yimshu bezara le'olam. That the ultimate lords will be the children of Sarah. In other words, that Kali Yisrael ultimately will be victorious over Yishmael. So it's a fascinating thing. Part of Maisa of a similar banim in the Ramban's list includes events where the Avos themselves, in one way or another, were responsible for the consequences of their own actions, and at the same time, the way it played out was also exactly the pattern that was meant to play out later on. I think that's a very, very interesting phenomenon. I also want to talk about one other aspect of this issue, again, not the more basic questions that we have to deal with separately. How do you understand the fact that you could say Avram did a chait and Sarah did a chait, and has Ramban know it, and what's the mucker for it? But something else. How do you square saying that Avram, you know, leaving Eretz Canaan and not having faith in Hashem was an Avera? If Chazal identify as one of the Asar Nisyonos, Chazal don't tell you what they were, but seems to be, certainly in certain many, many Mekoros, in the list of the ten Nisyonos is, Rashi quotes it as one of the ten Nisyonos, the Pirsha in Masech Avos. Avram Avinu leaves Eretz Canaan because of a famine, and he did not question HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It was Hashem makes a famine, and Avram Avinu could think, wait a second, you tell me to go to Eretz Yisrael, and now what are you doing to me? You're making me leave. Well, Avram Avinu was not Maharer Achar Midosah, and that's therefore to Avram's credit, that he did not question God. He did not question HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ways. He left, and he didn't ask quest kashas. So, Fet the Rashash. The Rashash asks on his commentary to the Masechta Avos, on the Mishnah of Asar Nisyonos and Sanas Avram Avinu, how could you say that Avram Avinu gets credit and passed the test that he left Eretz Yisrael and went to Mitzrayim because of the famine without questioning the Kodesh Baruch Hu? And according to the Ramban, at the same time, it was a chait for Avram Avinu to leave Eretz Yisrael. So you can tell me he gets credit for not questioning, but it was the wrong thing to do. Sounds like an utter contradiction. That's the Rosh Hashanah's question. But if you think about it, maybe it's not really a kasha. A little bit what I'm saying I found in the Sefer Yekev Ephraim by Rav Yaakov Kapel Schwartz, special yid, today lives in Borough Park, and Baruch Hashem, I have a kesher with him. He wrote wonderful Sefer Yekev Ephraim on the Ramban. The idea is that the two things can coexist. You can say Avram Avinu shouldn't have left on some level for his Madrega. He should have had faith and remained in Eretz Israel. So there was a mistake in calculation. He felt that he wasn't on the Madrega. He felt he needed to leave. So that could be what Ramban says, the basis for Golas Mitzrayim. But that doesn't mean that everything is an absolute. Within the construct of Avram Avinu leaving, he could have been Maharer, he could have not been Maharer. In theory, he could have been Maharer and stayed in Eretz Israel. So there would have been a problem in his being questioning God. On the other hand, he could have been wrong in leaving Eretz Israel, but he was certainly passing a test on another level in that he didn't question Hashem's ways. Those are two things that are not really necessarily contradictory. Within the same event, there's what to identify as Avraham Avinu's godless and Avraham Avinu's incredible emuna, not to question. And within that same behavior, there's what to say, according to the Ramban, that Avraham Avinu made a mistake in leaving Eretz Yisrael. The two don't have to be seen as mutually exclusive. Mashal Mahadova Domen. You give a test. There's something called partial credit. Right? It's not like all or nothing. Right? You get partial credit. You get credit for what there is to give credit for. And you get off for what there is to take off for. So Avraham Avinu could be nenash for one piece of the puzzle, and it could be given tremendous schar for another piece of the puzzle. It's not really a stira. And the truth is, if you take it a step further, this is a very profound idea. I don't want to be mayrach too much with it because I want to go on to the next piece of the Ramban on the on Eretz Yisrael. But I'll just try to give you a taste of it. You see, sometimes schar is not a measure of an absolute kindness or mitzvah. In the absolute objective sense, maybe there was no mitzvah fulfilled. There was nothing really that was accomplished. And nevertheless, the heart was in the right place. You did something which you thought was right. You did what in your eyes was a mitzvah based on the information that you had, based on your perspective. And magil chaschar le'olam voed. And where do I find that in our parasha this week? I think you find it three times in Parashas Vayera, this yisod, that you can have schar being granted for a maisa, quote unquote maisa mitzvah, that really in objective sense is not seemingly what was a mitzvah per se. In a sense of what it was meant to accomplish and what the intention of the person doing it was to accomplish. The beginning of the parasha, Avraham Avinu extends chesed to three individuals who, in fact, were malachim, who really didn't need any of it. Vayochelu is all shrei. They didn't eat. They didn't need to eat. Avraham Avinu goes out of his way to bring them the finest meal. What really was happening? Was it really something that was necessary? It was really not. And yet this is the basis of so much of Chazal tell us for the merit of Avraham Avinu doing the Klapas Lechem, Luaz Ochet, the Man, for the merit of Yishon Tachas Ha'et, Luaz Ochet Hanani Kavod, and Yukach Namat Maim, Bezbeir Shel Miriam, and so on. And all this is being repaid to Avraham Avinu because of what? A chesed that really was not material. Didn't really contribute objectively. The end of the parasha, you have something similar. The Akedah. Avraham Avinu understood Hashem's sivui as instructions to Shecht Yitzchak to bring Yitzchak as a carbon. But we all know at the end that was not what Hashem wanted. Hashem tells Avraham Avinu, the Malach says, Atishach Yadcha. Chazal say, V'haleyu Shem Le'ol. I never said anything more than Haleyu. But what's the Schar for? Schar was for everything Avraham Avinu put into the understanding that he had, which Hashem clearly led him to think that this was what was intended. Avraham Avinu put everything out for the sake of doing something which was really, on the objective level, not the real Ratzon of Hashem. And the schar is accruing to us to this day because of the schar of the Maisa Akedah, which Avraham Avinu was doing to fulfill what he thought was Ratzon Hashem as he understood it. And this is, in fact, Magia Lo Schar. And the third example is in the middle of the parasha with the Benos Lot. Chazal tell us that they're miskavein l'shem shamayim, because they actually thought that there's nothing left in the world. The world is gone. How are we going to continue the human race? The ishein baretz lavo leinu kederach kol haaretz. So they did what they did, l'shem shamayim. The Bechira did it a night earlier, so therefore she gets schar on a greater level than yakdim adam with my mitzvah, the Gemara says, more than the tzeira. This is faulty information. Had they had the whole picture, they certainly wouldn't have done it. And clearly, with a ma'aseh ma'us, this is something which certainly should be repulsive on face value. But the answer is, knowing what they knew, they felt that they had no alternative. So they must cover the Shem Shemaim, and the Gemara says it gets chafur. These are just three examples. I think you can extrapolate the tremendous yisod here, that within limits, you have to know how to extend this and how far to go with it. But within limits, you can be doing your best that you know, what you know within your limited understanding. And even though if you knew the full picture, it would not really be relevant, anything you're doing, and maybe shouldn't have been done, and yet, because Baruch Hu rewards you. Me'ein zeh, I think you can use this to help understand what we have over here. Avraham Avinu may have made a mistake, but he didn't realize. It was avon hashachet. It was something that his cheshbon was wrong. Maybe there's a price to pay on the one hand. On the other hand, there's also, it doesn't in any way negate the fact that there's what to give schar for within that context from Avraham Avinu's tremendous emunah of not being maharach amidosa. One doesn't extinguish the other. It's a kal v'chomer. I mean, we said even if a person mamish does something that doesn't have real objective merit, and yet the merit is coming. So here there was a piece of what Avraham Avinu did that was magia lo schar, even though there's another aspect of it that was not on the standard that he should have been. Again, this is a very intriguing idea, and we have to move on, but we can always discuss it on a separate occasion. I just want to end this section of the Ma'aseh V'Simchat Rabbanim with, I just want to mention to everybody, there's an incredible sefer that takes the idea of the Ramban, Ma'aseh V'Simchat Rabbanim, and runs with it, and I mean it kipshuto. The entire sefer is predicated on finding stories in Tanakh that are merumas in Sefer Bereishis primarily. And it's a sefer that's worth reading, although it's a little bit of a hard read. It has never been translated. Maybe one day it will be. Fascinating material. Fascinating. Nifros mitoris Hashem Yisbarach. This has interesting haskamis as well. This is from the Tkufa, 150 years ago approximately. And it was printed in Varsha. Anyway, it's been reprinted, and it's... Let me just leave it at that. But it goes through stories and stories and stories from Sefer Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, and finds how what is recorded in Tanakh can be traced back to stories that you find with the others. That's the basic yisod of this entire Sefer. I want to turn to the other idea. And the bridge, really, between the two ideas that we're focusing on is the Ramban in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, when he makes another mention of Ma'aseh V'Simchat Rabbanim. The Ramban writes over there that why is Sefer Bereishis before Sefer Shmos? Sefer Bereishis is called Sefer HaYetzirah. Sefer Shmos is called Sefer HaGeula. Why is Sefer Bereishis called Sefer Yetzirah? I understand Bri'as HaOlam. Why is the entire book called Sefer Yetzirah? The Ramban says because the life of the Avos, the Mikrei HaAvos, is Ke'inin Yetzirah L'Zaram. V'Pnei She'Kol Mikreyem Tziyurei Dvarim Lirmos L'Hodiyah Kol Ha'asid Lavo Lahem. The life of the Avos is an imprint that creates the reality of the history that follows. This passage of the Ramban, I think is very important in terms of understanding the yisod of Eretz Yisrael and the promise of Eretz Yisrael to the Avos. We began to develop last week. The Ramban, in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, explains the meaning of that chazal quoted by Rashi, that the purpose of the Torah telling us the Parashas and Bereishis, the story of creation, the story of the Mabul, Dar Flaga, is in order, Koach Ma'aseh V'Yigid La'amo, that the nations should not challenge our claim to Eretz Yisrael and say, it's ours, you're thieves, you stole our land. The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world and gave it to those we saw fit. Rabban explains what's the answer to the question, what's the question, what's the answer. The Ramban explains that the Yisod is one word, galus gerishim. No one has natural rights to a land just because they're there. If you don't live up to a standard, what Hashem expects of you, then the natural consequence, the mishpat elokim ba'aretz, is that you will be driven out, and there'll be somebody else that will come and take your place. And so this yisod is implanted in creation, beginning with Adam Rishon in Gan Eden. He gets driven out. Dor HaMabul lost their right to exist anywhere in the world because of their avaras, and Dor HaFlaga were dispersed. And the Ramban continues and connects that idea to Eretz Yisrael. That's what we spoke about last week. And the Ramban says, Im kein ra'oi hu kasha Yosef goy lachto sheyovad bimkomo v'yovad goy acher l'reshet es arzo. So certainly this now would apply to what we find that Canaan, because of his sin, was cursed, and therefore it's not worthy of him taking over the best, choicest real estate in the world. Therefore, who will end up taking Eretz Canaan? Not Canaan, but Kal Yisrael Zera Hashem Zera Olavo. This is part of the message of Koach Ma'isav Higid La'amo, not just the theory of no one has a right of a marakama to be in a land indefinitely, you have to continue to live up to certain standards, but it ultimately translates into Eretz Yisrael and the justification for us getting Eretz Yisrael. You see, this is why someone was asking last week after this year. So according to the Ramban and Brachos, why do we need the whole Lech Lecha, Vayera, Chayisara? The Ramban simply seems to take it only until Dor HaFlaga. So we understand the Yisod of Koch Ma'aseh V'Gidla Amo. The Torah had to tell you about what was created in creation in order to know what Adam Rishon had and what he lost. And we know Adam Rishon lost Gan Eden, and we know the Dor HaMabul was lost to the world. And Dor HaFlaga. So why do we have the rest of Sefer Bereishis? How does that connect with the theme of being chased away? Right? But the answer is, the theme of being chased away is not its own theme by itself. What it ultimately speaks to is the idea that there is a certain purpose in the world. Hashem created the world with a certain agenda, and that is the agenda that has to be met in order to be justified in being in this world or being in a geographical place in this world. This is the purpose of Eretz Yisrael, to live there and meet that, live up to that purpose. And that's why Kal Yisrael, Zera, Oavo are going to get Eretz Yisrael, because Canaan wasn't worthy of that gift and couldn't live up to that standard, and we can. And therefore, that is exactly why we have not just Bereishis and Noach, we have Lech Lecha all the way until the end of Sefer Bereishis. Because all of that continues to drive home the special relationship of Klal Yisrael and Hashem through Eretz Yisrael. The Avos were the vehicle for Hashem to be able to allow that vision to materialize, that there will be an Eretz Yisrael with a people that can be worthy of an Eretz Yisrael, which is the antithesis of all those who failed to remain in their special locations. Eretz Yisrael is the choicest location, and it's designed for those who are able to live on the standard that Hashem would expect. And this is what the life of the Avos are meant to symbolize. They are the ones that Hashem promised Eretz Yisrael to their children, because the Avos represent the model of living in Basin Hashem. And despite the fact that, as we saw, they may have themselves made their mistakes here and there, but that's all part of the larger picture. But the life, that doesn't take away the message of what the Avos represent for us and for Klal Yisrael. Like, make no mistake. And therefore, the Avraham Oavi, and therefore we are all in that camp, following in the footsteps of the Avos, and therefore that all justifies our getting Eretz Yisrael, which is the purpose of creation. So therefore, all Sefer Bereishis ties back into the same Yisod of the Ramban. So with that in mind, let's begin to develop as much as we could now how the Ramban begins to focus on specific psukim relating to Eretz Yisrael. Understand the following. The Rav used to say this, it's written up in the book of Kinnis, The Kuzari of Yehuda Levi had a wonderful love for Eretz Yisrael, passion for Eretz Yisrael. It was contagious. You felt it. It comes through in his poetry, in the kinnis. So did the Ramban have a love for Eretz Yisrael. Both of them, at the end of their lives, packed up their belongings, left their family, tried to go to Eretz Yisrael. The Kuzari, not clear if he ended up making it or not. He certainly spent a lot of effort to make the trip. The Ramban was zocha to go to Eretz Yisrael, to live there for a number of years. He put the finishing touches of his Pirush on Torah in Eretz Yisrael. There's certain selections that we know were written in Eretz Yisrael. But there's a very basic difference between how the Kuzari related to Eretz Yisrael, what came through in his writings, and the Ramban. The Kuzari of Yehuda Levi's connection was very much of an emotional connection. He saw Eretz Yisrael through the prism of the emotional attachment. And that's what came through in his poetry. It was a natural connection on the level of the emotion, of the regish. The Ramban was more of an intellectual approach. It's an intellectual connection. How the Ramban understood the relationship between Kali Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael. So, we noted already in Parshas, last week also, in Parshas Noach, and again in Lech Lecha, which we can add to that passage in Noach, the Ramban mentions how Zera Kenan, they were there temporarily. He's an Eved. He's not worthy of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem designed for him to be there, entrusting him for the time being for the sake of having Kali Yisrael ultimately take it over from him. That's the Ramban in Noach that we mentioned last week, and you can add to that the Ramban that you have on the Maamar Komos list in Lech Lecha, when he discusses Malki Tzedek. But I want to go back for a second. The special quality of Eretz Yisrael, there was Hashem promising Eretz Yisrael, and there's a progression to that, as beginning in Parshas Lech Lecha, numerous times Avraham Avinu was promised the land. But even before you get to the first promise, there's already a Sof Maisad Machshava Tchila. Hashem already has the Kavana, if you will, Kaviyachol, to give Eretz Yisrael to us, to Avraham. Ramban mentions this at the end of Noach, and again in Parshas Lech Lecha, and he explains Psukim, the Pasuk in Parshas Lech Lecha that says, by Bris Ben Absarim, Ani Hashem, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'ur Kastim, Lases Lecha Es Aretz Hazos Lishta. What does it mean, Asher Hotzei Sicha Me'ur Kastim? That word Hotzei Sicha, the Ramban takes not just that I took you out, but I took you out miraculously. Like Asher Tzisicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim. In other words, there's an allusion here to a nes. What nes was it? The Ramban entertains two possibilities. It could have been the nes that Chazal identify as the miracle of Kibshon Ha'esh. No question that that could be. And don't let the Ibn Ezra seduce anybody to think that the Torah should have mentioned it if it really happened. The Ramban says, you know, shame on you, Ibn Ezra. I have good reason why the Torah didn't want to say it. But it could have also been a nace that there was a change of heart. The Ramban is also, you know, willing to entertain both possibilities. But it was also a nace nister. But Hotzei Sicha means there was something pivotal that happened in Ur Kastim. But the Ramban continues based on this. And what does it say further? Asher Hotzei Sicha mi Ur Kastim, Lases Lecha Es Ha'aretz Hazos Givishta. Says the Ramban, at that moment in time that Hashem made that miracle, whatever the miracle was, in Ur Kastim, that Avraham Avinu was in a certain sense chosen, selected by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be the recipient of this miracle, this grace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it was for a particular reason and agenda. It was Lases Lecha Es Ha'aretz Hazo, Zot Ramban at the end of Noach, Ki Me'eis Hotzio Osom Ur Kastim, Haya Haratzon, So what Hashem tells Avraham Avinu in the beginning, Lech Lecha, Lech Lecha, I'm going to make you great, that's when Hashem told Avraham Avinu. And when Hashem told him, Bispin Absarim, Hashem says, you should know, I had it in mind before. I may not have told you until the official tzivui came in Haran. Ramban holds it was in Haran that Hashem was told, Avraham told Lech Lecha Pashup Shad, after he arrived in Haran with Perach, then Hashem says, pick yourself up and continue and go El Eretz Asher Eka. But Hashem says, I want you to know I had this in mind when I took you out and I saved you from more chasm. The Ramban explains it again on the pasuk itself in Lech Lecha. The Ramban says, Kfar Pirasti Zeh. The Ramban is an amazing Rebbe. He says it once, he says it, you know, because it was relevant for his discussion in Noach, but then he gets to the point where the pasuk appears, he tells you what I told you. A good speaker, they say, you say what you're gonna say, you say it, and you tell him what you said. Right? Then it all comes together. Kfar Pirasti. So we have this, the machshava tchila that comes with the Neis of Ur Kasdim. Let's understand. Avram Avinu and Terach leave Ur Kasdim. The pasuk says, where are they going? Where do they think they're going? Where? Leches Arza Kenan. Where do they end up getting to? Only to Charan. So, watch the pshat. So if you look in the Ramban Erev Noach, why are they thinking to go to Eretz Canaan? The Ramban seems to say pragmatic reasons. The life is difficult here. They were being subjected, Avram was being persecuted, and Terach and Avram realized that they have to move on. Even though Terach, you could say, in some way was partly responsible for putting the pressure on Avram Avinu to the extent that he was thrown in Kivush Esh, but at the same time, I guess he was, you know, sometimes there's a contradiction within people. He is protective of Avram Avinu at the same time. So Avram and Terach decided we're going, moving away to a nation that speaks a different language. They wanted to go to Eretz Canaan, but they ended up making their way only to Haran. But maybe we can add another dimension here. The fact that they were going to Eretz Canaan may have not just been because it's away from the danger, but if we understand what the Ramban says, that from the time they were safe from Ur Kasdim, from Ur Kasdim, Hashem already had put into the, so to speak, into the world, the agenda that Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give Avram Avinu Eretz Canaan, then maybe they were tapping in to this, you could say, this energy that Hashem already had put into the world, that Avram Avinu has to get to Eretz Canaan. So whether or not they were conscious of it, there was something already there that they were tapping into in thinking to go to Eretz Canaan. And this would explain also the beginning of Lech Lecha, when Hashem says to Avram, where are you going to go? El Arf Asher Ar'eka. It doesn't say where. What does it say Avram does? It takes everybody, gets their belongings, Sarai, Lot, Vayetzu, Leleches, Arza, Kenan. Why does it say Arza, Kenan? Hashem didn't say where to go, but Avram was tapping into something. So the Ramban discusses this in the beginning of Lech Lecha. He says, even though he didn't yet know al Eretz Ahi Nitzdava, but he says, number one, Achas Tzadik Darko, Derech Eretz Kenan. What's the default? Where should I go? Hashem says, Arz Ha'Rekha, so Hashem will ultimately give me the exact place, but where should I go meanwhile? Where's my GPS, right? The GPS is Achas Tzadik Darko. Ki haya bedaito, but that's Aviv Gabet Chilo, but it says Mir Kastin. The Tachein. The Ramban adds, "Ki Avram barishona yada, the Eretz Kenan is nachas Hashem, and he knew ba yitin Hashem chelko vehemin ki Eretz Asher Eka is Eretz Kenan, and therefore he went to Eretz Kenan, which of course was the divine design that Hashem should ultimately lead him there. What we'll have to do in Yetzer Hashem is to pick up from here. I want to go to two things in the Bris Ben Absarim. You find Avram Avinu asking those words, "Bamo eda ki ivashena." What exactly is Avram Avinu asking? And the answer is, "Chali ego mishreshes," and you have the Bris Ben Absarim. What is the question, "Bamo eda"? What is Avram Avinu asking, according to the Ramban? And then we'll discuss, maybe briefly, the Ramban about the progression within Sefer Parshas Lech Lecha, why Avram Avinu is promised time and time again, if he's already been told he's going to have Eretz Kenan, why is Hashem again? What's different each time? What was added? So that we'll try to finish up next week. And then the reference in Parashas Vayera as well to the destruction of Sodom being connected to the unique status of Eretz Kenan. And then with Hashem, hopefully we'll be on to some other things as well. Good Shabbos, everybody.
Outside, we have President Joe coming in a few minutes. When he comes, he likes to start. So don't scan too far. Just kind of stay in the room. When he comes, we'll start the second class.